have that that glassy-eyed look of I'm searching for dessert. But the Word of God is the most important thing at church, so we'll look into that here a little bit. I want to talk about seven things, Lord willing, and we'll begin in Luke chapter number 1, in verse number 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now the first thing I want to talk about is his miraculous birth. If you were in Sunday school, we talked about birth. We talked about a miraculous birth. We're going to replow some of that ground today. We're talking about a miraculous birth. And Jesus Christ was, he was born of a virgin. That virgin was Mary. She was blessed among women. It was a miraculous thing. We talked about Jesus Christ being the second Adam. The first Adam had a miraculous creation. Amen. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Living soul, that was a miraculous thing. It'll never be duplicated. It can't be duplicated by man. God's not going to do that again. He had created Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, when he said, "Let us make man in our image," God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Adam was body, soul, and spirit. That all come together when God breathed into his nostrils. So we had the first Adam had a miraculous birth. And in Genesis chapter number 5, regardless of a popular opinion where the world says, well, we're all created in the image of God, that's not true. Genesis chapter number 5 said that Adam, in a fallen state, he begot sons in his own image. So we are born with the image of the first Adam. And that image is a sin nature image where we're messed up. We've got a problem. The problem is not whether you lied, told, you're an adulterer, you cheated on your taxes, they're all. The problem is you're born wrong the first time. The first birth is a problem, amen? The first birth makes you worthy of hell. Now look, I talked about this in Sunday school. I believe there's an age of accountability, and I don't believe it's a calendar year. I believe it's when certain people get to the point where it might be 5, might be 8, might be 20, might never happen, where they get to the point where they realize good and bad. They realize right and wrong, and they realize they're sinners. Amen? That's an age of accountability. But you're born with a sin nature. You don't have to teach kids how to sin. You don't have to teach kids how to lie. You don't even have to send them to public school to learn how to lie. They learn how to lie before they leave your house. Amen? You know why? Because they're born with a sin nature. Now, they're not accountable to the age of accountability. I believe that wholeheartedly. But there's a miraculous birth, and God had a miraculous creation in Adam, and he had a fallen state after Adam, and that's why the second Adam had to come, and the second Adam had a miraculous birth. Isn't that a marvelous thing? See, we don't serve a God that was just, they wheeled him into a hospital, and his mom and dad had their name on the birth certificate, and he went to a grave, and he's still there. We don't serve that God. We serve a risen Savior, amen? And you know what? He's in the world today, just like the song says. You know where he's at? If you're saved today, he's in you. I can take it further than that from the Bible. If you're saved today, he's in you and you're in him. And he's at the right hand of God the Father. That means today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you called on him, you are seated with him in heavenly places, spiritually speaking, now. Why do you think this world looks like such a dumpster to you and other people are like, that's not that big a deal? This world is not our home. We're seated in heavenly places. We have something inside of us that makes us long to leave and be with Jesus Christ in a more perfect sense, amen, than what we are right now. He's in us, we're in him, I understand that. We're so wound up in Christ, you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to if you're saved, amen. Don't try though, amen. Live for the Lord and impress people the fact that Jesus Christ is worthy. Some people say, well, that Baptist believe you can't lose it, so they just live like the devil. No, I believe if you live like the devil, God will put a boot right in your shorts, amen. But I believe that we're saved, we're in Christ, he's at the right hand of God the Father, because He was born of a virgin. God the Father is Jesus Christ's Father, and God the Father and Jesus Christ, get this, are one. How's that happen? Body, soul, and spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three parts, but one God. The miraculous birth. And in that miraculous birth, because of that miraculous birth, He could have, well, let's think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of that miraculous birth, He could offer a meaningful sacrifice. A meaningful, eternal sacrifice. It means something eternally. You can sacrifice some things. You can decide to die to self and live for God and sacrifice some things. But you can't offer a meaningful sacrifice that could get you to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ died. Because He was born of a virgin, because He was God Himself, because He sheds God's blood. In Acts 20:28, talks about the church that God purchased with His own blood. Because that blood was perfect and sinless blood, it was God's blood. That sacrifice was not only meaningful, it was eternally meaningful. God the Father would accept that blood sacrifice, and God the Father would accept it, and He will apply it to your account when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He had a miraculous birth. He made a meaningful sacrifice. Look at Acts chapter 2. I mean, this story about Jesus just keeps getting better every time we preach it, amen? It's not just for Easter, all right? So hold on to the Easter eggs, amen? It's not just for Easter. Jesus Christ is an everyday blessing. The miraculous birth, the meaningful sacrifice is an everyday thing, amen? In Acts chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak of you, unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He had a miraculous birth, he made a meaningful sacrifice, and he had a magnificent victory. You know what that magnificent victory was? He died, he went to hell, dropped off your sin debt, and he came back out of the grave. He rose again with a magnificent victory. Muhammad didn't do it, Joseph Smith didn't do it, Mother Teresa didn't do it. Ain't no Baptist preacher ever done it. Ain't no Pope ever done it. No priest ever done it. Jesus Christ, the one and only, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the priest, the high priest, the Holy One Himself, He came back out of that grave with victory over death, with victory over hell, and with victory over the grave. Amen? Magnificent thing. Look at Galatians chapter 4. I'm telling you, I'm trying to travel through here. I know y'all are. Don't be thinking about chicken now. Think about Jesus. The Lord is good, amen? Which come first, the chicken or the egg? I read Genesis. It was the chicken. Okay? It was the chicken. So anybody ever ask you that? So the Bible says it was the chicken. He made the animals, and then the animals start reproducing, so the chicken got here first, amen? But there was a miraculous birth. There was a meaningful sacrifice, a magnificent victory. If it wasn't for that victory, that's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. No resurrection, no salvation. I mean, if Jesus Christ didn't come back out of that grave, if he was still in a hole in the ground somewhere, you might as well just go ahead and worship Buddha. I mean, any old dead Savior will do, but there's only one that will get you to heaven. Because of his miraculous birth, his meaningful sacrifice, that magnificent victory. You know what? He laid his life down and he took it up again. He said he had the power to lay it down and take it up again himself. Now, I know we can't understand everything in God's understanding. Our minds can't wrap around that. But Jesus Christ is God, and God raised him from the dead. He came back out of that grave on his own power. The power of the resurrection. If you're here today and you're on your way to heaven, it's because of the power of the resurrection, not the power of your religion, but the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection. Galatians chapter number 4. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There's that marvelous gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have anything to brag about except Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I should be burning in hell right now. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ and that death, burial, and resurrection, and his blood atonement, that's where I'd be. But we've been given a marvelous gift. Think about that verse again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You didn't get a hall pass that might get you into heaven. You got everlasting life. So how could that be? I still go against God once in a while. Well, I'll tell you how it is. Because Ephesians says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and he takes you out of your sin and he places you in Christ. So how are you getting to heaven? He's smuggling you in. Amen? Because Jesus Christ took your sin debt and dropped it off in hell, and God the Father gave you the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ when you call on him for salvation. I'm covered. I'm covered. He whom he loveth, he chasteneth. I'm scourged as every son. I understand you can still get whooped. But you're going to heaven in Jesus Christ because God has placed you in his righteousness. What a marvelous gift. Now, you know, say you, here's grass cutting season. I bet there's probably 10 stories of people having trouble with their lawnmowers, right? Every spring, right? I don't know what happened. Well, you left that 2 cent worth of gallon gas that they charge you $4 for in it, and it destroyed everything in the carburetor. You know, plugged up the jets, the idling jets and all that. Probably got that lawnmower. But if your lawnmower's broke, your grass is 8 foot tall, you know, 8 foot, 8 inches, sorry, 8 foot, you're in trouble. You better get a big, bad weed eater. But your grass 8 inches tall, and it's going to rain, you got 4 hours to cut it, and I show up at your house, and I say, here, I got this old Cub Cadet, and this thing is just a workhorse. I hope that thing don't break down now that I said that. But it's a workhorse, you can have that. And you go, okay, and you start it up, you start cutting your grass, you go in and get a glass of tea, and I take it back home. You got a third of your grass cut. That wasn't really a gift. I let you use it for a while, and I took it back. You know what Jesus Christ gave you? He gave you eternal life, and he ain't taking it back. See, he wants you to choose because he is worthy to love him and live for him. He doesn't want you to be a robot and make you live for him. He wants you to show the world, even in this dumpster fire that's kicked upside down of a world, that you can still love Jesus Christ and do right. Amen. Because you've been given a marvelous gift. Look back at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. Look at verse 32. We left off at 31, reading 31. 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You see the majestic king, the Most High God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to rule and reign on the throne of David. He had a miraculous birth. He made that only meaningful sacrifice could be made. He gave you a magnificent victory. He gives you. He come back out of the grave with a magnificent victory, and he gives you a marvelous gift. He's a majestic king. You see, we get this idea, and we've talked about this before. The whole Bible is about us. The whole Bible is about God coming to save us. The whole Bible, the whole theme of the Bible is about a king and his kingdom. God just let us in on it. You look at the Old Testament, and it's talking about the coming king. Then we have the church where the Israel rejected Jesus Christ, and he turned to the Gentiles through the book of Acts. We have the church age. Guess what the New Testament's talking about? A coming king. He's still going to be here. Why am I saying that? Because you're getting out of here. If you're saved, you're going to leave this place one day, hopefully soon. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, we can talk about the rapture. We can talk about the being caught up, the catching away, the sound of the last trump, leaving this place. And that probably is why they're talking about all the alien stuff now. They're going to have an explanation for why you and I aren't here anymore. And it'd be terrible just to believe God did it, wouldn't it, for them, the Darwin crowd? You know, they'll be down at the zoo trying to change the monkeys into people to replace us, amen? Honestly, some of the monkeys might do a better job than some of us, but... Anyway, the miraculous birth, the meaningful sacrifice, the magnificent victory, the marvelous gift, the majestic king. Look at number 33 in Luke chapter number 1. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the same thing it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. We have a massive kingdom. A massive kingdom. You see, the devil thinks he's winning. He really does. He thinks he's smarter than God. And he thinks even though God has everything planned in the future, because God's outside of time, the devil doesn't understand that this is already done. He is doomed. You read the book of Revelation, he's doomed to a lake of fire for eternity. Praise God, I can't wait till I'll be the biggest cheerleader for the Lord then. Cast that devil in the lake of fire. He's caused so much heartache, so much pain, so much misery, so many problems, and he'll be gone forever. But Jesus Christ's kingdom will have no end. The devil's kingdom is going to end. He's the little g god of this world right now. What a mess, right? The Lord's going to rapture us out of here. He's going to turn back to Israel. By the way, Romans chapter 11 talks about it. God's not through with Israel. Blindness and part is coming to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Until the fullness of the Gentiles. And God's going to turn a remnant back to Him. And Jesus Christ, we just read it, is going to sit on the throne of David. This isn't fiction. This is Bible. This is fact. And God promised that. And God is not a man that He should lie. If you've been taught, now look, if you've been taught something's wrong, you can't help that unless you don't read your Bible, then you should read it because then you'd know they're lying to you. If you've been taught that God's all done with Israel and the church has replaced Israel, they're saying God's a liar. That's what it says. It says Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. People say that ain't going to happen. Well, think about that. If that doesn't happen, then the devil won. Oh, we'll say, I'm saved. Yeah, you might be saved going to heaven, but the book is about a king and his kingdom. And if the devil stopped the king from coming to his kingdom, then the devil won that. He didn't win that. He thought he won that at Calvary. You know what God said? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to save millions of people that trust in my Son. And then I'm going to call them out of here. And you can have your little way with the place for about 7 years. And then I'm going to come back and rule and reign with a rod of iron. The battle of Armageddon. Defeat the beast, the false prophet. Bind the devil for 1,000 years. And guess what? If you're saved, you get to come back with him. The battle of Armageddon where the blood runs bridle deep on the horses. Hey, the devil, he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance. It's going to be a massive kingdom. And the main theme again is the king and his kingdom. It's all about Jesus Christ. See, we're so caught up in the Laodicean mindset and the me mindset it's about me. Everything's about me. That's why the world's in such a mess right now. You look at this younger generation, everything's about them. Now, there are still some good folks out there. There really are. There's some folks that want to give. They've been raised right, and there's some folks out there that got enough Bible in them that realize it's not about us. It's about other people. Amen. God didn't just save you so you can go, hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live like the devil. God saved you so you can tell people how to get to heaven. So you can tell people about Jesus Christ. He's worthy. And again, God didn't save you to overthrow the government. Paul never said that one time. Paul never said, go get you some AK-47s, some AR-15s, and about 10 million rounds of ammo, and take this country back. You know what Paul said? The Lord's going to fix this one day. You know what Paul spent his ministry doing? Telling everybody what happened to him. Hey, I was a persecutor of Christians. I was a bad guy, the worst guy you ever met. And I had this new birth. I was on the road to Damascus, and this light shone around about me, and I hit my face. I was blinded. I never could see things the same way. I never did see things the same way after I met Jesus on that road. If you really trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'd never see things the same way. Never. You ever wonder how you and some of your family members can see things so 100% differently? 180 degrees out. You're like, this is wicked and that's wicked. And they're like, well, this is good and that's good. And you're like, how could that be? I understand some people get saved and never go to church, never read the Bible, and they don't understand this stuff. But this thing is going to wax worse and worse and worse. Until Jesus Christ comes back and fixes it. It's about a king and his kingdom. It's about a day when your Lord and Savior sits on the throne of David after he takes it back by force. He sits on the throne of David and people will come and give him glory. All around the world, they'll come and give him glory. And if they don't, that Bible says their land will perish. Or their land will be punished for it. They won't have rain. They'll have drought and famine. But they're going to have to. You notice it says he rules with a rod of iron. Not everybody's going to like it. But every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and the glory of the Father. I mean, if you're lost on your way to hell, you might as well do that today. Just bow your head and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. I realize that you died, was buried, and rose again. I believe that. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe you can save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him, ask him to forgive you and save you. You're going to bow one day. Why not today? I mean, I think about born-again believers sometimes. It's like you have to force them to bow to Jesus after they're saved. Think about it. But he's worthy. He's worthy. Why is he worthy? Well, he had a miraculous birth. He made a meaningful sacrifice. He had magnificent victory over the grave, and he gave you a marvelous gift. What a marvelous gift. Eternal life. He didn't just save me until I messed up again. He saved me knowing I messed up. You know, when he died on Calvary, every sin that I ever was going to commit was in the future. You know he knew them? Because he's past there. He's outside of time. He knows the end from the beginning. God's not constrained by that clock. Amen. And he's out there in eternity going, I got this. Just watch. Read my book. Call on my name. Trust me for strength. And watch the miracles unfold. And they're unfolding today. So I don't like the guy that got in office. It's just a miracle unfolding. These things have to happen. And it doesn't matter what man gets in where. It's still going to end the same way. God's not going to be surprised about any of it. Amen? I think you could shock him, though. I think you could shock him today. I know you say, but God, he knows everything. I think it would shock him if people just get right with him and try to live for him. Amen. Instead of blaming the mess of a world on our sin, you know, our sin on the mess of this world, this world is a dumpster. It's crazy. It's Crazyville, man. You used to have to pay to go to the circus. Now you just go to Walmart. Amen. But this is crazy. But he's still worthy. He still had a miraculous birth. He still made the only meaningful sacrifice that could be made. He still had that magnificent victory. He's still given you a marvelous gift, or he's offered it to you if you're not saved. He's still going to come back and sit on that throne of David and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords here. Amen. The King and his kingdom. He is salvation. Well, he's through with Israel. I thought he was through with me and he saved me. You know what he's going to do? He's going to regenerate this earth. He's going to turn Israel back to him. He's going to have 1,000 years where things are like the Garden of Eden. He's going to have 1,000 years where the peace that the UN and all the EU, all this junk, all they talk about is peace, and then all they do is start wars. But they talk about this peace and peace and peace, and I guess peace is translated into money in their bank accounts or something, because there is no peace. But when Jesus Christ comes back, there will be peace. It's not going to be the president of Africa that brings it. It's not going to be Benjamin Netanyahu or Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Donald Biden or Joe Trump, any of those guys. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to come back and sit on that throne. And then, no other king's ever been like him. No other king. And no other kingdom's ever been like the one that's going to be on this earth. It's going to be an amazing thing. old boy down south preached a message. I didn't hear the message. I just heard parts of it, and it was called "Keep Your Fork. The best is yet to come." Amen. Y'all are thinking about dessert. Yeah, keep the fork. The chicken's gone, but we still got pie. No, the best is yet to come. We get out of here. Amen. We get out of here. But you have an opportunity right now to tell people about the miraculous birth, the meaningful sacrifice, the magnificent victory, and the marvelous gift. Think about it real quick, and I'll wrap it up because I know y'all, we got things. Oh, probably getting weak, haven't eaten for 2 hours, amen. But Adam, the first Adam, miraculous birth, miraculous creation. I'd say his birthday was when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Boy, there he is right there, completed Adam. Miraculous birth. Jesus Christ, miraculous birth. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. When you trust Jesus Christ, you get a miraculous birth. You've been born again? Have you had that miraculous birth? You see, just realizing you're a sinner doesn't get you to heaven. He said you must be born again. The first birth is our problem. The miraculous birth is the answer. That's the answer. By trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he gives you a new birth. He translates you in the kingdom of his Son. He puts you in Christ. So I'm waiting for the King. I'm in the King. Amen? I'm just waiting for him to sit on his throne. And he will. He will. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, make today that day of salvation. You must be born again. All the devil believes Jesus Christ is dead and buried and rose again, but he won't call on him, put his faith in him. Have you? Oh, religion wants you to guess and wonder and think maybe or possibly get the scales out. I might make it if I do this or I do that. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You don't have to leave here wondering. You can know it. How do you know it? By doing what God said to do. The Bible says, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there ever been a time when you prayed, Lord, forgive me, a sinner? I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. I'm trusting you and you alone. Help me, forgive me, Lord. Save me. There's never been that day. Please make today that day. A few moments of silence here. Do business with God. The opportunity pass. Marvelous gift. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. You just wish you could walk closer with Jesus Christ. Just be closer to him. Be a better example, have a better testimony, a brighter light to a lost and dying world. Just ask God to help you and strengthen you. Paul asked folks to pray that he could speak boldly.